The ISFJ, introverted, sensing, feeling, judging type. Before saying more specific descriptions of this type, let me first say a general introduction. I want you to make some allowances for generalizations. I'll try to avoid them, but on occasion they do slip in, and I hear myself saying an always or a never. The best of our ability, we won't let that happen. Likewise, beyond the sweeps, you may have to make some allowance for maleness or femaleness. Where possible, again, we'll build that in. But should we miss that, please, you make those translations. The bottom line is to open the door for better understanding of this individual type, so that if you are this type, or if you're trying to understand this type, you can begin to see where their unique and different creativity is. Type watching is never an excuse. It is only an explanation. That as we explain and understand our differences, we can use them more creatively. So with that in mind, let's talk about the ISFJ. Duty, duty above all else. Responsibility, obedience. These are words that mark the ISFJ and make them a uniquely creative and gracious type. The ISFJ is the one that when all else fails, they'll stand behind you. They'll be there. You can count on them. The ISFJ would almost rather die than let you down if you have been depending upon them. It is such a grace, and it is so unique that this type continues to be that sort of a backbone, albeit somewhat quiet, albeit rather in the shadows than in the limelight. When the curtain falls or rises and you need someone to count on, the ISFJ is the one that's there.
Now, they're very quietly and quietly organized, I guess is what I was going to say, while caring for people.
Yeah, but again, with that introversion, beware, because of two things. One, an extrovert may pull them out, and all of a sudden you wonder, what have we got here? Or you may step on something, someone, or some issue towards which they have some special loyalty, and then all of a sudden you've got a tiger on your hands, and you wonder, what happened? Because this normally, as you've said, quiet and compliant type, not only becomes rigid, but more than that, can become, extroverted, rather gregarious, certainly above all else, very, very stubborn. They're going to be very hard to move. And if all fails, they'll just hide in their own introversion. And I think it's important to keep that in mind, because on the one hand, while counting on them, they do have a party side, they do have a lively side, but it takes an extroverted version of some type to pull them along. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, they're ready when you say to them, come on, let's go.
Yes, but I don't envision them as types who really want to. Even when they're pushed on something, they would rather not jump out there into the middle of something. They want to be involved, and they are involved, but they're very much in on the edge where people don't see them and out there applauding them and don't give them the credit often for an awful lot that they end up doing when no one else is looking, because they can see what has to be done, what needs to be done in order for something to be functioning and running well, and for it to be done in a way that people feel good about it, and they'll just pick it up and do it. And no one knows who did it or when it was done, or they often don't get the credit for it.
Good point. Right. That I would agree with. And again, where all SJs are concerned, and certainly with the ISFJ, propriety is a governing guideline. Behavior that is inappropriate, words that are inappropriate, action that's inappropriate, is something the ISFJ just shuns. Because for them, governed by a sense of propriety, they want to be appropriate towards you and towards people that are important to you and towards the events in life that demand that sort of thing. Their SJ temperament puts them in a position of loyalty. And when they once set themselves towards being loyal to some situation or person, then indeed that's what will be the course for the day or for life. As a result, incidentally, certainly more than I think a lot of other types, they're very serious about vows, about promises, about giving their word that they'll be somewhere. And as you said, they don't need they don't need fanfare for that. You do it because you've said your word to do it. And that's one of the things you come to count on an ISFJ. One of the bad news is about that is that's one of the things folk take advantage of this particular type. And I think more than any other type, with the possible exception of an ESFJ, the ISFJ can get themselves into a situation where, for lack of better words, they get taken to the cleaners. They get taken advantage of. They get, in my words, doormatted. Because they're there and they are dependable, and somehow people just assume that. I swear at times as I watch people drive down some roads, they drive on the strength that everybody else must be an ISFJ and they're just going to give in. And you meet another type that isn't, and we get accidents. But ISFJs can get seriously taken advantage of.
Yes, because they are so dependable. They are always there willing to pick up in... do a task that no one else is just eager to do, that pretty soon people start calling on them consistently to do that, do the sort of thing that nobody else wants to do.
Yeah, and as a result of that, the careers that the ISFJ is drawn to involve people kinds of things that are marked with dependability. Nursing, they're a natural at that. They provide support services in the whole area of whatever is in general secretarial work like no other type. They cover the details. They're there. You can count on them. You depend on them. You set your clock by them in the main. They can be accountants. They can do the bookwork. They like details. They work well with precision. But all of those things need to be translated into some meaningful thing for people. They make excellent teachers. In the grade school, I would imagine that all of the great nurturing that gets marked with patience, the one teacher that you just thought the world of, no matter what you did, he or she was kind of there, standing by even though you were goofing off, that may well have been an ISFJ, because that's the way they work with these little rambunctious kids or with big kids. They're tremendous in those kinds of helping, health services, teaching, support services professions. And that's where they generally end up, and that's where they deliver the goods.
Mm-hmm. I see them, if they get into a role of a managerial position, that they will really take care of their people. But I wonder if they will often assume a lot of tasks within their area that they don't get credit for, or if they might not push loud enough for some merits they receive that they deserve in their unit, or how would that work if as an ISFJ manager?
Well, as a manager, they're liable to take it for granted, and as you've just said, so they don't. It either never occurs to them, or after the fact, they have some ill feelings about the fact they didn't get the recognition they felt they needed. And I know you don't always agree with this, but in the managerial role for the ISFJ male, I'm still going to make the point that you can find often what I call compensatory behavior or compensation for their maleness. It is a type that's often seen as soft and nurturing and gracious. And if they're comfortable with that, then indeed, that's the way they may manage. But frequently in some systems where macho describes, where macho demands other things of men and of managers, then the ISFJ male may show up at least between 8 and 5, the working hours, with some behavior that might be very different at home. I've experienced that repeatedly. And I think that's generally true of F males. And it's particularly true of the F male who has the SJ temperament. But otherwise, beyond that, they're tremendous counselors. They're tremendous in, again, any of the things that demand follow-through and deliverables. The ISFJ is there with that sort of thing. In the family, again, deliverables is the name of the game. They are so dependable. They are such a backbone. They provide such continuity to the family structure. Again, now the bad news, and this would be true of managers, would be true in any of their career choices, and you've already alluded to this, Janet, and it's most true in the family. The ISFJ, again, can end up the doormat. They live so for nurturing and helping others in the family that frequently they subjugate their own needs to the needs of others. And so what happens is you get an ISFJ who is just drained of rescuing, of caring, of meeting someone else's needs, of carrying on their back or on their shoulders this other member of the family, this mate, this alcoholic partner, this troubled child, this distressed person. My fantasy of the ISFJ parent is they would just have endless amount of time to give to children, a child that is having some difficulty learning or that has hurt themselves or is physically in a bad way or whatever. It's the ISFJ parent that'll undo their schedule, redo their schedule to nurture and take care of this child. And that's beautiful. That's beautiful. But contrasted with some other types, it conveys some smothering mothering, and in that process, the ISFJ almost loses all of themselves in giving themselves away to serving others.
But that's what comes naturally to them.
It's as ISFJ as mm-hmm. anything.
It's like
can
hearth
be.
And home is really utmost
yeah.
important for the ISFJ, and that for them to have a home that's harmonious and neatly appointed and well cared for and care for in the meals on time and things running smoothly is second nature and what's also very important. They don't often feel how much they are really taking care of so many people because that is such a natural part for them.
And when it blows up for them, meaning when they suddenly realize, hey, it is I whose needs are being neglected around here, it's liable to come out in somewhat explosive stuff. Hey, when do I get my needs met? And that's true. I'm sick of this class. I've been teaching them, and I never get recognized, whatever. But it's very rare that that happens. When it does, though, it'll come in a much more explosive way than for other types. And then again, right away, they fall back into their duty. Because, as you said, nurturing and duty is just integral to their particular mm-hmm. type. They do it beautifully. The danger is maximizing that strength that becomes their own liability. And so that needs to be watched.
If we translate that into what they would be like as children, it sounds like they would be little joys to have around.
Every home should have at least one ISFJ child. It'll give you an idea of how easy child rearing can be. Because that is true. ISFJ children fall in line. They fit in happily. They're pleased with minimal attention. It's the child you can take shopping, and if there's a big crowd, you set them there and say, I'll be back, and they hang in there. They go along and do this and do that, and somehow, even though they'll pull at you and say, can I do this or can I get that? If you say, no, not now, somehow they understand that, and that tracks for them, and that's beautiful. They're just a very easy, compliant type who, as you've said, wants harmony. Want certainly their own way, but I'm saying even there, their own way gets subjugated with the other members of the family. And so if you've got three little kids in the back, and I'm sure parenting someone listening to this tape has made the terrible mistake of asking, where do the three kids want to go for a fast food treat? And of course, you'll always get three different answers. And it's almost irreconcilable, and then the argument starts. And in those kind of situations, the ISFJ, for peace and for harmony and for going along, will sell themselves out and say, hey, if my brother or sister wants to go there, then I'll go there. And that's part of their beautiful qualities. Again, like other introverted J children, they can have a stubborn streak. It can show up on occasion, and you soon learn that's a line you can't cross. But within, those are very, very few and very far between, so you learn them early. But with that exception, here's a child that's going to develop good study habits, is going to want family to be smooth, is going to give to themselves to compliancy, is going to be there and dependable and do their routines in whatever way the family wants that to be ordered. The most stress at all for the ISFJ child is when they have particularly extroverted, but when they have P parents who don't give them that kind of structure and schedule and who want the kid to do whatever the kid wants to do. And one of the things this particular type of child wants to do is please you. And of course, if you don't tell them how to, then they're somewhat at a loss.
And pretty soon they'll be taking care of the parent.
Yeah, but but beyond that, that can get somewhat frustrating to the ISFJ. Order and duty and response to human need mark them as a child in a family configuration, as parents, and in career.
The ISFJ is responsive to meeting others' needs.
They feel a calling to duty. They feel a need to please.
You have to look hard to find them. You may never know they're around.
The ISFJ gets the job done, being humble and quiet and sound.
The rewards of life.